God's word today, we will turn to John chapter 4, verses 7 to 14. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For the Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." God is the fountain of living water. God is the fountain of living water. God is the fountain of living water. As stated in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13, it says that he is the fountain of living water. And in other versions, he is the spring of living water, meaning that he is the origin and source of living water. From him comes life. And those who are found as living, he provides the living water. To those who are living, he gives living water, the water of life. Therefore, God is the source of living water. Our faith is to believe him and to yearn to drink this living water, to quench our thirst with his water. This is our faith. Just like a deer pants for water, we the soul pant for this water, for God is the source of living water. Therefore, we long for it. Our faith life is to not leave the fountain, the origin of living water, to not leave God, but rather to drink his water abundantly, drinking copious amounts of water, and quench our thirst with his water and carrying it out to the world for the rest of our lives. Today we will be speaking about Yeshua, the fountain, the source of living water. Water is essential to living organisms. Without it, no living organism can live. In this universe, mankind cannot live outside of this earth on another planet. There are projects and research trying to discover water sources on other planets, for mankind and living organisms cannot live without water. If there is no water to be found in space and the planets, then they conclude that no living thing can survive there. With water, we not only drink it, we need water, we need to drink it to be hydrated, but we also use it to wash and to clean, like laundry. And also farmers need water to grow their crops. Water is so important and essential in manufacturing and other industries, for it is used during the production process of many goods. Semiconductors also need water. And for just all living conditions, water is an essential requirement for life. It is absolutely necessary for life. So water, we need water. 70% of the planet is covered with water, and 80% of cities are near bodies of water. We now currently have the supply chain crisis, and there is a shortage of water. Water is just so important for life and for mankind's survival, as we depend on water. And humans cannot live without water. However, we see that there is a water scarcity throughout the globe. As time goes by, we're beginning to see shortages of water. New Zealand, they say that from New Zealand comes many natural resources, and they are abundant with natural resources. However, now we see that the rivers there are drying up, and water is becoming scarce, and also the quality of water is degrading. New Zealand is known for natural resources. So if it becomes scarce for them, then what becomes of the rest of the world? Not only will there be a war on energy, but they predict there will be wars for water. And that is what is being forecasted. So all the more, this shows the importance of water. When God created this universe, He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. By His word, He created all things. And if you were to view the universe from above, it could be seen like a water bubble. And we know of it as the waters above and the waters below. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 7, it describes God as the one who made the springs of water the fountains of all waters, thereby being the source of all water. God is the source of all waters. He created the Garden of Eden in this universe, and there He placed four rivers that flowed there. It was a very fruitful and abundant environment for Adam to live, and there was no lack. However, the issue was that there was the devil in the form of the serpent who deceived Adam and Eve to eat of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And therefore, because they disobeyed the word of God, they were banished from the garden. And since then, mankind lived in toil. This was all the dispensation of God to lead them towards the living water and to provide them with living water. Abraham lived in the lands, and near there was one of the rivers called the Euphrates. However, one day he was instructed to leave his homeland. Though where he lived was very fruitful land, God instructed him to leave, and not knowing where he was headed, by faith he followed the instructions of God and was led by Him. God promised him that if he left as instructed, then he would be blessed, and all nations that, and he would be a blessing, that he would become the father of blessings, and he was to be blessed by God for leaving his country and his people and his father's household. And so we see that his son, Isaac, he reopened the wells, and thereby he became very prosperous. As a result of him, they became very prosperous in farming, and they were provided an abundance of water and was able to reap a hundredfold. So we see when God instructs and one obeys, God, He will not disappoint them. And we saw through such physical blessings, they were provided, they were blessed. In order for God to reveal that He is the origin, the source of water, the source of blessings, He chose the people of Israel, and so that they can experience this in their lives. So therefore, they were freed from their slavery overnight, for they were sent a man named Moses to lead them out to a land flowing with milk and honey. A land flowing with milk and honey. Not only would there be water, but also it would be flowing with milk and honey, and this is the promise they received. So think of how happy they must have been to flee Egypt overnight, to be liberated from their slavery. When they arrived in the desert, they arrived in the wilderness, they found it was a very dry and barren land without water. They found themselves here and they went through great risks and danger to arrive here. But where they ended up was the desert. They lived in harsh conditions and their living circumstances were very difficult there. And it wasn't what they expected, as they were looking for a land flowing with milk and honey. When they arrived in the desert, they found water. But when they tasted it, it was very bitter. The water was too bitter to drink. From then on, the Israelites, they resented God. And the first resentment came from this bitter water. And they resented drinking it and complained and they grumbled. God instructed Moses to throw a piece of wood into the water, and the water became fit to drink, and the waters were made sweet, and they were able to drink this water. For 40 years, they lived in this dry and desolate land, but God, he said, I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. So he created water and he provided them with water for 40 years. And even in the desert, they couldn't drink water, not because there was none. They didn't die from lack of water, for God provided them with water through his wonders and miracles. But rather, it was because they complained and grumbled and lacked faith. The people of Israel became astray and corrupt and wicked in their ways as they worshipped idols and served other gods. There was a famine, there was a drought for 3 years, and the prophet Elijah said that this was due to the result of King Ahab's wickedness and being an evil king. So we see the event on Mount Carmel, that there were the false prophets who called on Baal and Asherah, and the false prophets, 850 of them, went against Elijah, who served the Lord Jehovah. And no matter how much the false prophets cried out to Baal, there was no response. They received no answer, no sign of fire. And however, when Elijah called on the Lord God Jehovah, he revealed himself, and they were able to see that the Lord is God and that he is the true God. The land was still very dry and there was no rain. And so Elijah, he started to pray on the rock, and he kneeled down with his head between his knees praying to God. And after he prayed, he told his servant to go and look toward the sea, but there was no sign. Then he continued praying, and he kept continuing to pray, and on the seventh time he prayed, they saw a sign of a cloud as small as a man's hand rising from the sea. That they saw this small sign, and this was it. Now heavy rain started falling. So Elijah, he believed God Jehovah as the beginning of creation, as the source of living water. So he prayed to him. He prayed to the source of living water for the rain to fall to save the people of Israel. And therefore heavy rain started to fall. And this is described in 1 Kings chapter 18. So through such experiences, they were to be reminded that Jehovah is the fountain, the source of living water. Jehovah is the source of living water. And then through Ezekiel, they were given a prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 to 4. It says, "The man brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist." So first, it was ankle deep, then knee deep, and then it was at the waist and eventually deep enough to swim in. Where did this water come from? So this river that came from the temple, inside the temple, what is inside? Inside is the name of Jehovah. And it's to show that Jehovah is the source, the fountain of living water. And for us to understand and envision this, this vision was given to Ezekiel. And then verse 8, it says, "He said to me, 'This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. And then swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the water, the salt water, fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live.'" So wherever this water reaches and flows, everything will live. The marshes, the swamps, all kinds of trees will grow, and the leaves won't wither, and there will be sprouts from the trees. So this water, whatever it touches, all things would be made alive. As the trees absorb the water, they will all be fruitful, all the more fruitful. And this was shown to the prophet Ezekiel. It's not the dead trees that come to life, but rather the trees that are already living that would be provided even more life through this water that touches. And this was shown to the people through this prophecy and through this prophet, Ezekiel. And whenever the Israelites look toward the temple, they would be reminded that the Lord is their shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. For he leads them to great green pastures and streams of living water." It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." The people of Israel, like sheep, were led by Jehovah to living waters and green pastures so they could live. The name of God was Jehovah. And if they obey the commands of God, they and their families and their peoples would be blessed and live keeping his commands. And they experienced this. For the rest of their lives, they longed to dwell in the house of the Lord Jehovah. It says, "All the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And this was their confession. The people of Israel to this day make it their confession, as recorded in Psalms chapter 23, regarding their Lord being their shepherd and being led to green pastures and being provided for by the Lord. However, because they were a forgetful people, they forgot the grace of God and they thought they could live without Jehovah. They became arrogant and corrupt in their ways, and they disappointed God for being like this. So therefore, whenever they engaged in battles, they were cursed. And then and even now, there are the conflicts over water sources, and they make strategic plans to take over such water sources. Do you know what is the Achilles heel of China? The Achilles heel of China? that if a nation strikes the Achilles heel, China would be destroyed. Do you know the Achilles heel? It is the Three Gorges Dam, which is the world's largest dam. Even if a very small nation like Taiwan, size of Jeju Island in Korea, Taiwan has no chance against China if engaged in war. But if even a small nation attacks the dam in China, as it's their Achilles heel, this could cause great destruction. If a missile aims at the Three Gorges Dam and it were destroyed, it would cause devastation to all the lands, for it is the central water source, and this is to show how important and vital water is to the survival of people and a nation as a whole. So when we bring it back to the Bible, the prophets warned the people that the reason why they were destroyed is because they abandoned the Lord God, who is the source of living water. And in order to be saved, it wouldn't be water that is man-made, but they were reminded and warned by the prophet to return to God, for God is the only source of living water. So at our church, we are very proud of our members for reading the Bible from beginning to end. So there are people who have read the Bible 20 times, 30 times from beginning to end. So we see in the Bible that what it wants to instill in us, ingrain in us, is that God is the fountain and source of living water, and it's recorded in the Bible in various places and through various stories. However, they were destroyed as a nation, for they abandoned God and they went astray. However, there was a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 10. It says, "For he who has mercy on them will lead them, even by the springs of water he will guide them." The one who has mercy on them would come and lead them to the fountain of living water, the springs of living water. There'd be one who would lead them to the springs of living water, and he would come. And he finally came, and who is he? He is Yeshua, Yeshua Christ. He appeared before the temple, and what did he say? He said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." What was in the temple? It contained the name of Jehovah, and the name of Jehovah is the name of the God of Israel, who is the source of living water, the fountain of living water. He is the provider and source of H2O, and this is Jehovah God, that he is a provider of this water. So if they obeyed and kept the regulations regarding the flesh, then they would be provided this physical water for the flesh. However, he said to destroy the temple, for he would be the living water, that the Son of God had come, Jesus had come, and he would be the one who provides them water. And it would not be H2O. It would not be a physical water, but the water that Jesus will give us is the water that would flow from his body, the water that wells up to eternal life. And we read this in the opening passage. This is the spiritual water that leads us to eternal life, not the water that our flesh drinks, not this water that you find in the marts, but the water that our spirit drinks for us to receive eternal life. So it is not for our flesh, but it is for our spirit, for our spirit to receive eternal life. So when we read in the opening passage in John chapter 4 regarding the Samaritan woman, out of the 12 tribes of Israel, when the north and south divided into two kingdoms, the north mixed with the people, and there came the Samaritans, who were seen as Gentiles. And as those who left Israel and left God, so they weren't to be mixed with. So they were not to be associated with at all, for they were seen as a people not of God. However, we read here that Jesus, we see here that he encounters the Samaritan woman, and Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" So this woman was shocked, for she said, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." So the woman was very shocked. She knew who he was. But he said, if you knew who asked him, he would have given you living water. And if she were to give him water, then she would receive the living water. He went on to say that everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So she didn't understand this, but he said that if you ask him, he'd give her living water. At that time, water was a very sensitive topic back in the days. For the Israelites, water was scarce and so valuable because there wasn't much, and it was essential and absolutely necessary for their survival. And they knew this since their forefathers. It wasn't readily available to them like this day where we can just go to the mart and buy water. But at that time, it was very, very scarce. And so therefore, nations even went to war fighting over water sources. And so the woman said, "You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So then the woman realized that he is the Messiah who was sent by God, and she believed that God is the one who could save them, and he is the source, the fountain of living water, and that he would provide them with water and would save them. And so she left her water jar and she went back to the town, and she said to all the people that she had met the Messiah, Christ, and she shared this news with the people. So when Jesus Christ introduced himself, he wouldn't give them H2O, physical water, but in him would be welling up the living water, the spring of water welling up to eternal life. And it is a living water that he would provide to all souls. So it's the spring of water welling up to eternal life, for he is the source of this living water. To his disciples, he said those who believe him would be the, would within them have, would flow the water of life. Within them would be flowing the living water, and this is referring to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would be sent to the believers. And when the Holy Spirit comes, within them will well up the waters of life, the water of life. And this was the prophecy of Jesus sending the Holy Spirit. At the time, no one understood. Therefore, there was much misunderstanding, and there were those who wanted to put him to death. He was captured and was led to his death on the cross, and he said, "It is finished." What did he finish? Before his death, he went to Mount Gethsemane and he prayed. And at Mount Gethsemane, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears. With fervent cries and tears. So his disciples remembered how Jesus cried at Mount Gethsemane and his loud petitions with fervent cries and tears to the Father God. So many misinterpreted that he was afraid and sad about dying, but that it wasn't the case. He offered up prayers or fervent petition with cries and tears to reveal that when he dies, it was to show that when he dies, it would be like water that overflows, water that bursts, water just rushing out. So that is why with fervent tears and cries, he offered up to the Father God. And in Jeremiah chapter 9, it says that, "Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. That my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears." My eyes a fountain of tears. So my head, a spring of water, my eyes, a fountain of tears. This was referring to his fervent cries and tears, and according to the prophecy that he would be surrounded, that from his head, a spring of water, his eyes, a fountain, a source of tears, he would be like this bubble of water, like a well of water. And the closer to the moment of his death, that is why he shed his tears and offered up his cries. So when he was captured, he said, "It is finished." He said, "It is finished." And he also said, "I am thirsty. I am thirsty." He was pierced on the side, and so water and blood flowed. So everything was poured out. Everything was spilled out. And that is why he said, "I am thirsty." Jesus Christ, why did he come in the flesh? Who is God? He is the fountain of living water, the source of living water. From the beginning, he was there as the source of living water. And in the beginning, he was there as the Word. So you can make the analogy, the word, like a water pouch. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. The Word came in the flesh. God came in the flesh. The fountain, the source of living water, came in the flesh. He came in the form of man and was born in the form of man, lived and ate and grew like any other man. And when he died, he completed and fulfilled the purpose of him coming in the flesh. And that very moment of his death, the pouch of water burst open, the well of living water springing up. And in John chapter 19, verse 34, it says that instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. A sudden flow of blood and water. So when he was pierced on the side, from his body flowed water and blood. If a normal man was pierced, only blood would come out. But for Jesus Christ, they witnessed water and blood, and that's why it's recorded here. John, he is the one who recorded this. Also, it's recorded in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. It says, "This is the one who came by water and blood." The one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, Yeshua Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Word became flesh, the source of living water, the fountain of living water. The moment that this was fulfilled was at the very moment of his death on the cross. So he is the source of living water, and from him comes life. Do you believe this? From him comes life. As it says in John chapter 1 verse 4, from him and in him is life. The life that comes from him is blood. For the life of a creature is in the blood, as recorded in Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11. It says that in the blood is life. So what gives life to the dead spirit is the blood. It is the blood that gives life to the dead spirit. So when we drink the blood and receive the sprinkling of his blood, our dead souls come to life. Now we have been sprinkled by his blood and we are made alive. Our souls have been made alive, have become living souls. And now what gives life to the living soul is the living water. Now we have to be clear on the different functions and roles of what the blood of Jesus does and what the water does. Because they have different roles, he came in both water and blood. Do you understand? So when Jesus died, from his body flowed the blood, and the blood was sprinkled in the temple in heaven, and it was offered up to the Father God. So the blood of Jesus was received by the Father God. When Jesus died, he died according to the Father's command, as per John chapter 10, verse 18. And when he died according to the Father's command, the blood that he received from the Father, he returned to the Father. He sprinkled his blood in the heavenly temple. With his death, in the process, he also condemned the devil, and the blood he sprinkled into dead souls gave life. And the water he gave to the living souls, the souls that had come alive by his blood, was given to them so they can drink it and live. So living soul, and he is the life-giving spirit. And this is referenced in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. So we're the living spirit, and he is a life-giving spirit. So do dead things drink water? The water has no effect on what's already dead. It's only those who are alive that can drink water. It is the blood of Jesus that raised the dead soul to life, and it is his water which allows the dead soul raised to life to continue to live. So say amen if you have the blood of Jesus. Then that means our souls have come alive. We are living souls, living spirits, made alive. Amen. Whatever anyone sees, though our flesh is dying daily, our spirit is made alive by his blood. And in order for us to continually live, then we need to be provided with the living water. And it's that the moment of his death that he also provided this living water, and he sent the Holy Spirit to remind us of this. When we turn to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet." And verse 10, "In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered." Other versions, it says, "should make the author of their salvation perfect through what he suffered." So make the author of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. This is referring to Jesus Christ. With his death on the cross, he resurrected. If he hadn't died, then he wouldn't have resurrected and been made perfect through suffering. And we read, "In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered." So when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he shed his blood and sprinkled it on the sanctuary in heaven. With his death, he fulfilled the will of the Father. Also, through his death, he raised the dead to life, and through his suffering. Why was there suffering? Believers, just like he was made perfect through his suffering, believers who by his blood can be made perfect through suffering, and those believers who have been made alive by his blood, they receive the command They receive the command, and through this command they can be made perfect. For we know his commands lead to eternal life. As recorded in John chapter 12, verse 50, it says, I know that his command leads to eternal life. So he completed this work and he ascended to heaven, and now he sits on the throne as the Lamb of God. On his body, he bears the marks of being slain and pouring out water and blood. And these are the marks that show that he is the source of living water. And from there, he sent the Holy Spirit who enters. Who does he enter? The Holy Spirit enters not the unbelievers, but the Holy Spirit enters the spirits that have been made alive by the blood of Jesus. So into the souls that have been made alive by the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit enters. So the Holy Spirit enters the souls that have come alive by his blood so that they are born of water and the Spirit. In John chapter 3, verse 5, it says, Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. So we have come alive by the blood of Jesus. And now for us, the souls that have come alive, in order for us to enter the Father's house, our living spirit has to be born again by water and the Spirit. The water is referring to the words of eternal life. This is the water, the words of eternal life, which are the commands of Jesus. For his command leads to eternal life. When we receive the words of God as command and obey, we receive the living water. So the blood was given to us by grace. But the water we have to receive continuously through the Holy Spirit. It is when we receive his word, receive his command, and when we obey that we are continuously provided this living water. So our souls have come alive by the blood of Jesus. The fountain of water, the source of water, is the water. So we need both the blood and water, the source of water. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And this is how we can enter the kingdom of heaven. So we must grow through this in order to enter heaven. Our church is different from other churches in that we have an assignment and task for the rest of our lives. It doesn't just end with us receiving grace and we say hallelujah, but we need to continue to drink the living water. Amen, hallelujah. How do we drink the water? We must receive his words as command. For his command leads to eternal life. Amen. So the first command he gave us is to receive baptism. Baptism. And so when we turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, it says, And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So water. In the past, long ago, in the days of Noah, the ones who were saved from the water were Noah and his family, who built the ark as instructed, as commanded. And so all of them were saved. And it says only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. From Matthew chapter 28 onwards, he commanded that in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, they were to give baptism. This was his command. So if we are baptized, we have obeyed his command and we have drunk his water. And this is a pledge of a clear conscience toward God. So we are one step closer to entering the Father's house. And it's not only that. Second, When we receive His word as command, we must be fully governed, fully reigned by His word, and therefore obey. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 2, it says, "And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters and like a loud peal of thunder." The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. So it describes His voice like the roar of rushing waters, a voice of many waters, and like the voice of great thunder. In Psalms chapter 29, verse 3, it says, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters." So His voice is like many waters. Has anyone been to Niagara Falls? When you scream at each other under the fall, even though you scream into their ear, you cannot hear what the person is saying to you, even though he's right next to you. So when it describes that His voice is like great waters, all the other sounds are absorbed and filtered out. Like that, those who have been born again by the water and the Spirit, we are totally governed by His voice, totally reigned by His voice and His commands, and we hear no other sound. We are therefore totally governed by His word. If not, then even though one may call out, "Lord, Lord," it's all in vain and would be meaningless, like a well without water. It says, "It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them, the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud." So even if one is baptized but does not continue to obey and drink this living water, then they are like empty wells without water. The water source will be cut off from him. So where must we go? We must go to church, whether we like it or not. The Bible tells us this, and we confirm in this passage in John chapter 10, verses 14 to 16. It says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." So it says, they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. So this is the will of Jesus, the will of the Father. Jesus is the good shepherd, and we are his sheep. As sheep, we must follow him. We must obey, meaning that we must drink the water he provides us and follow him. And it says, there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And so when we turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." It says flock, and they must listen to the command he provides through the church, so we can gain the strength to continue on this path. If one leaves the church and the flock of his own accord, then he is a dead sheep. Why? Because he has left the source of water, and he is cut off from the source of water, and so will end up dead. If you have truly received this living water, say amen. If you long for this living water, say amen. So you have come to church, and what have you received? The blood of Jesus? No, you already received the blood when you believe. Now we are here to receive the living water. We have come to the springs of living water. Amen. Say amen if you know that you have been led to his living waters. So he will lead us to living waters and green pastures. And what do we eat in the green pastures? The grass as food. And it's at the springs of living water, where the rivers, where we can drink this water, the food for the living soul. Amen. You may think this is a difficult message and may think that all you have to do is come here and listen to the word and warm up the seats. Wouldn't it be so great if that is all that's needed to receive salvation? But it says here, we have to hear his voice. We have to obey his command as a voice of many waters and follow his voice. Be governed by his commands, his words, and this is for our faith life, for we are sold, we are his sheep. So when I pray, even today, I prayed for him to have pity on all the souls living the past week out in the world for the flesh. For the flesh is weak and tired, but as they know they are spirit, they have come to church. So I pray for God to lead us to the springs of living water. And one who has received the Holy Spirit knows that he needs to receive food for his spirit. Amen. Not out of burden, not because you are forced to, but because you are born of water and the Spirit, and you know and receive this word as life for the Spirit, the word that gives life to the Spirit. So our spirits are strengthened. We are strengthened. Amen. Your flesh is weak and tired and weary, but when you come to church and worship, you are energized. Amen. Hallelujah. You have drank the living water. If you have drank this water, say amen. Now what must we do? Like the Samaritan woman who went to the town to share the news of the Messiah, like that, we have to lead souls to the living water. We have to share the news of meeting the source of living water and carry this water out to the world and lead souls to this water. Amen. So whether in season or out, whether people welcome it or not, we have to share this living water. This gospel of living water, we have to share it with others. As we have this living water in us, as within us, we have this water flowing, we have to scoop it out of us and share it with others to lead them to the springs of living water. Hallelujah. And such person, therefore, yearns and longs to arrive at the Father's house where our Lord Jesus Christ is, where he has prepared many rooms, for he is the Lamb of God who guides us to the rivers of living water, the springs of living water. And there it is a place to rest, where there are no worries or anxieties, no toil, no concerns. And there forever and ever we will rest. Hallelujah. Let none of us fall, and let us all put effort to drink this water and obey his word and to share this living water to the world and be saved. Let us pray.